back, everybody. What's up? It's Louis DiBiase, Locked On Eagles. What's going on? We are just, what, a week and a half away from the NFL Draft? April 25th in Marcus Mariota's land, Nashville, Tennessee. I think it's in Nashville. I'm not 100% sure if the Tennessee Titans actually play in Nashville. Too lazy to look it up. What's up, everybody? Once again, Louis DiBiase joining you on this Monday edition of the show, and I'm feeling those draft vibes. We are, again, only a week and a half away, and we got some awesome content for you on the podcast this week. Some fantasy stuff with someone that we've had on the show before, but he's moved up in the world, so that's my tease, is that we're going to have, well, I'll just say it, come out and say, Graham Barfield of NFL Network's fantasy department. He is going to be joining us on Friday to discuss the fantasy implications of this draft class and what players with what teams make the perfect, you know, fantasy RB1 for you in the summer when you're drafting, because of course fantasy football makes up a lot of the fan base for the NFL. So we got that coming up, that My Guys podcast. I promise you we will get that out, but me and Gino really trying to build up our rosters and kind of go back into our actual rankings from the past five draft classes. So we got that coming up. Some more mock drafts. We got some more prospect talk. We got another loaded week for you. And on today's show, there was a lot of news to get to with the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, OTAs started up. There was some injury news to get to. And there was a couple press conferences. Carson Wentz talked to the media. Zach Ertz talked to the media. So did Jason Kelce. And there's some trade rumors that don't really necessarily have to do with the Eagles yet, but they could down the road. So we're going to really round up all the news of this past weekend and into a busy Monday for the Eagles, as again, they are back in the building today. And I can confirm that Matt Collins is alive, ladies and gentlemen. He was on the Eagles promo for their OTA practice on their official Twitter account. So if you were worried about Matt Collins like I was and Gino was, I can confirm Matt Collins is alive. It was really cool to see DeSean Jackson go back to the NovaCare complex for the first time since 2013. It's just really good to get them back in the building because it's the perfect timing, right? I love this these next 2 weeks, because the other thing, too, to keep an eye out for on this podcast is the NFL schedule could be released on Thursday. Normally they do it the week before the draft, right? So I feel like on Tuesday they haven't announced anything yet, but the Eagles schedule could come out by Thursday. And if it does, we're going to have a reaction podcast. We're going to do the stupid win-loss column, because as much as we all say we hate it, we are intrigued by the strength of the schedule, we think, at least on paper. So we're going to go through the win-loss column. I picked them to go 9-7 in 2017, so while it's not an exact science by any stretch of the imagination, we'll get into that. We'll kind of get into some of the matchups that the Eagles have this year, how many primetime games they get, some of the quarterback battles that Carson Wentz will have this year. So that's also going to be coming up whenever that NFL schedule gets released. And normally it is the Thursday before the draft, so just be ready for Thursday. I think it's coming. I'm not 100% sure, but we could be having that as well on the Locked On Eagles podcast this week. And just a couple other notes, too, to look out for. The Locked On NFL Network joined all of our team hosts for all our podcasts, the NFL, the Locked On NFL podcast, the Locked On Draft podcast. We got the guys from the Draft Dudes and the Draft Network, and we did a mega mock draft, and it's going to be a five-day special, a four-day special from today up until the end of this week, where we go through a 32-pick first-round mock draft. And each team, me and Gino had the pleasure of taking the Eagles' spot at 25 and selecting on behalf of Howie Roseman. So picks 1 through 5 came out today, so be on the lookout for that, as we already posted that on the Locked On NFL podcast streaming. And then on Thursday next week, when the Cardinals officially go on the clock, me, Gino, and Lars, we will be live. We will be live, and you can see our reactions, my pissed-off face if the Eagles take a corner or Chase Winovich, Gino's disdain if they take Hollywood Brown, Lars Lewis kind of mediating both of us to make sure that we both don't go absolutely off the walls if they do something we don't like, or if they do, like, take Josh Jacobs or Cleveland Farrell, or move up for, let's say, a Brian Burns or someone like that, or if a DK Metcalf fell. You never know, but we'll be live with you to enjoy the draft next week. And just we appreciate all of you guys that have really been listening to our podcast throughout the draft process and have been asking us questions on Twitter. We really appreciate that as well, at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. You guys have been great, and we really appreciate the consistent loyalty from you guys and just the back and forth conversations. We love talking birds, and we do it 4 to 5 days a week here on the podcast, and we also do it over on Twitter pretty much 24/7. So there's our kind of little meeting before we get into the podcast. That's all the mandatory announcements that we had to get off. But now I want to get into, on this first segment, the news that Frank Clark, the Seahawks' young defensive end, could be on the move. There's been a lot of Seahawks news, really, the past week and a half, I would say, with the whole rumor swirling around Russell Wilson, how Tyrann Mathieu said Russell Wilson wants to be in New York, and that there's some inside people that feel like Seattle doesn't trust that Russell Wilson wants to be there long-term, that he might really actually want to be on the New York Giants. I'm not sure why you would want to play with that organization, but I get, you know, him and his wife wanting to be in that market. So Russell Wilson could be on the move, but at the same time, a guy in Frank Clark, who the Seahawks decided to retain in free agency, they did not get a long-term deal done with him yet, but they did not let him get out of the building and become an unrestricted free agent, because I bet the Eagles would have been really interested, and they might be interested again, because according to Pro Football Talk, and also on FanSided, it was Matt Verdrum who said that people on the inside with FanSided, according to some sources, say that Frank Clark could go for a package starting with a second-round pick. And Pro Football Talk, here was the exact quote from yesterday: there's some chatter on the league grapevine tonight about a possible Frank Clark trade, for your information. And a lot of you guys probably missed the Frank Clark talk, because Game of Thrones was on yesterday, and the NBA playoffs, and the NHL playoffs, and the Masters with Tiger Woods winning it all. It was a monumental day for television, sports television really specifically, and of course Game of Thrones. But at the same time, you know, of course the draft next week, there has just been some NFL news, and there was that Frank Clark thing that kind of got thrown in there during a busy, very busy day. And I'm sitting here thinking, this guy's 25 years old, he has 32 sacks in the last 3 years, he can play on the edge, he's one of the young guys now, right, with Derek Barnett that you need, because you have the immediate help with Brandon Graham, and you brought back Vinny Curry, and who knows what happens with Chris Long. And while this defensive line draft is historic, really, at the top, and there's a lot of depth throughout, Howie Roseman even said it himself, if I can add, though, a 25-year-old, that's still very young. I mean, he has 6 years before he gets to Brandon Graham's age. And Brandon Graham's someone I still think can play at an elite level like he has been for another 3 years that signed on that contract. So you bring in Frank Clark, who's got 32 sacks in the last 3 years. I mean, that's a young guy. You're kind of getting the best of both worlds. You want that young guy that can eventually be that, you know, pass rusher one on the edge with Derek Barnett and Fletcher Cox. And while we keep debating which guy we'd want that to be in the draft, if I can give the Seahawks a second-round pick, and then maybe one of pick 53 or 57, and maybe another late pick or some sort of pick swap, and you might be able to get the job done to get Frank Clark in here. And that, to me, is an ideal scenario. Frank Clark, I would take over almost any pass rusher in this draft, right? I would take Burns, I think would be close. I would probably take Clark. I think the only guys I would take are really the top ones, right? With Bosa, Josh Allen, Quinnen Williams up front as well in the defensive line. But there are not a lot of defensive linemen that I would take over Frank Clark. I think it stops at the top three that are going to be taken in that top five of the first round next week. So if this, I know there's the Chiefs that need pass rushers after they traded Dee Ford away. The Buffalo Bills could be looking for one. You know, there's a lot of teams that could pay a pretty substantial amount for Frank Clark. But with the cap space that the Eagles have cleared up right now, right? They're about at, you know, with Ertz's restructure last week, they're at, I think, 20 plus million in open space. I think it's around 23 in space right now. They're at the top half of the league in cap space. You could give Frank Clark, hypothetically, that big contract, and it would be a big one, though. So if you do trade for Frank Clark, not only are you giving up pick 53 or 57, but you're also going to have to give him a pretty big contract, right? Because you're not giving up a second-round pick for a rental in Frank Clark, even though you'd probably get a pretty good compensatory pick back after. But if you're trading for a 25-year-old guy like that, that's going to be a staple on your line with Fletcher Cox and Derek Barnett for the future. But you did see Flowers with Detroit, right? You saw Zardarius Smith in Green Bay. You saw a lot of Brandon Graham, even, although it was a really fair deal considering the other guys in the open market. You saw so many pass rushers, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence now from Dallas, right? 20 plus million bucks annually. You see these pass rushers get a massive, massive deal. That might be the only hesitation for the Eagles, because the compensation for the draft, I mean, I'm willing to give up a second round pick for Frank Clark, but it's that, do you want to pay that amount of draft capital and though a massive contract? I think the Eagles can get it done, but that's something you have to consider. But if they traded for Frank Clark, I mean, that is someone to me that is on the verge of becoming an elite pass rusher, and he has been someone, again, that has been a force. And an underrated force, really, the past, 3 years? Because I feel like Seattle, everyone just assumes, you know, they've been losing a lot of their key defensive pieces. So everyone's kind of talking about the downfall of the Seahawks Legion, a boom with Sherman gone and Chancellor and Thomas. But meanwhile, Frank Clark has just been an absolute wreck on the defensive end, getting after the quarterback for the past 3 years, 32 sacks. So the player himself, I would be over the moon. Again, I would take him over almost any defensive lineman in this class. It's just weighing the money portion of it. But hey, I mean, look, there was even an interesting video about Russell Wilson today talking about, you know, sports betting. And once that becomes legal, how the NFL is going to make even more money. So the cap is going to continue to grow year after year after year, as it already really does. It went up by $10 million. In 2019. So we talk about the backloading strategy that Howie Roseman has. It seems like the right call, especially if something as big as sports betting was legalized, that the NFL can now profit off of that. That's going to open up your books even more to afford a guy like Frank Clark. So there's a lot of variables going in, but if it's a second round pick and then maybe another low pick or a pick swap of some sort, yeah, I'm willing to spend the 53rd overall pick or 57th on Frank Clark. I think he is a legitimate pass rusher that is not really on the verge, not at the end of his career, right? It's not just a full win now mode type of move like Malik Jackson is. This is a guy that, again, could be with you, and you can get another 6-7 really good years, 8 really good years, looking at Michael Bennett and Chris Long, how productive they've been in their mid-30s. This is a guy that could be with Philadelphia for the long term, and then boom, you have your edge rushers when you lose Brandon Graham eventually and when Vinnie Curry moves on. So I'm all in on a Frank Clark trade. There's, I'm sure, going to be competition, but if the rumor is true that it could take a second-round pick, that's something I'm very willing to go in on. All right, let's take a quick break here in the Lockdown Eagles podcast. When we come back, we'll get into some of the OTAs talk today, some of the injury news. We'll get into press conferences later on. Jalen Mills was in the news for, I don't know if you would call it a bad reason after what he did last week. Some Eagles fans are proud of him, but we'll get into that too up next right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Louie DiBiase. As always, thank you for joining the show today. So the OTAs have officially started for the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz is in there trying to prove to the locker room that he's not a terrible teammate, right? Apparently, according to Santiliquido. So they're all back in the NovaCare complex today, and you can really feel that the season is getting back going. We've taken a couple months to really speculate and see all the free agency moves, and now it's time to see all that gel come together with the draft next week. And then, you know, before you know it, we'll be in the summer, we'll have training camp, and then preseason. I mean, it flies by. You'll have your fantasy draft, and boom, we are back in the regular season. It flies by, and there really is no offseason in the NFL. Let's get into some news last week off the field when it comes to Jalen Mills. So Jalen Mills was arrested after getting into a fight with Washington Wizard Reserve, or dare I say now, former Washington Wizard Reserve, Devin Robinson, at a nightclub in D.C. So Jalen Mills was out on the town in Washington, D.C. This Reserve Washington Wizard, by the way, the Wizards are almost as big of a joke as their counterpart in the NFL, and this guy that barely plays, he comes up to Jalen Mills. And you would think, you know, like, oh man, I wonder what happened. There might have been, you know, some dispute over something there. And it was simply Devin Robinson comes up to Jalen Mills and doesn't like the fact that a Philadelphia Eagle is out in a club in Washington, D.C. So this dude, that's 6'8", by the way, and Jalen Mills, he's listed at like 6 feet, but I mean, Mills is really, I think, like, you know, he's almost under 6 feet, right? So this guy's almost got this Robinson guy who barely plays for one of the worst teams in the NBA. he starts stuff with Jalen Mills. And Jalen Mills is a dog. I mean, this is a tough dude. You see even on the field him spatting back and forth with Stephon Diggs in the NFC title game, and you saw him spatting back and forth with Adam Thielen last year against Minnesota. I mean, this aggressive dude that loves to hit. And off the field, this guy, Devin Robinson, starts stuff with Mills, and Jalen Mills apparently puts him in the hospital. And I think he had to pay a $35 fine, and I'm not sure if there's going to be charges pressed, but I don't think the Eagles are going to do anything about this. I feel like, and again, I don't know the whole story, but Les Bowen of the Philadelphia Inquirer even said that a source told him that Devin Robinson was the guy that it was instigating. So I feel like this was almost more of a self-defense thing with Mills. Maybe he went too far considering the injuries that Devin Robinson apparently had, considering he had to go to the hospital. But we don't know the whole story. But a lot of Eagles fans are actually commemorating Jalen Mills for this. And Lane Johnson was having fun with it, kind of tweeting a muscles emoji and, you know, mentioning Jalen Mills in the tweet. So, and look, I mean, the Redskins aren't coming to fight their own battles. I guess the Eagles got to deal with the Wizards, too, going to a nightclub. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that Robinson had this kind of problem with it. It would almost be like T.J. McConnell taking issue with, what, Kendall Fuller, with, like, Leighton Vander Esch, because they're out at a Philadelphia bar. I mean, imagine, even to a higher level, imagine if Joel Embiid was at a bar and Tom Brady was there in Philadelphia, right? Or, you know, Dak Prescott. And Joel Embiid just starts stuff with Eli Manning. Although Eli Manning is not the same as Jalen Mills. But, you know, he starts stuff with one of these division rivals for the other team. It is kind of cool, though. It's like this cross sports, but yet the same city rivalry. It's kind of cool, truthfully, the story itself. It's kind of pathetic on Devin Robinson's part. But at the same time, it's kind of weird. It's like, you know, an Eagle battling a Washington NBA player. It's kind of funny, but I don't think the Eagles are going to take any real action towards this when they really figure out the whole story. I think Mills once again was acting in self-defense from what information we've been provided. And even if he wasn't, even if this was just, you know, a fight outside a bar, that's not something where, you know, you get rid of Jalen Mills. I would get rid of Jalen Mills because I want Rasul Douglas to play or Sidney Jones, and I'm trying to get rid of this logjam at the cornerback spot. So I'm willing to let Jalen Mills go if I can get a pick back from like Cleveland or if I can get Duke Johnson in return. But I don't think this, you know, this incident should really cause any discipline on Jalen Mills' front when it comes to, you know, serious discipline. Obviously, maybe the Eagles fine him. Maybe they do something like that. But certainly this is not something where, you know, much unlike Devin Robinson, who is no longer with the Wizards, I don't think this is really going to harm Jalen Mills' status with the Eagles. Some other news to get into today around OTAs. Nate Sudfeld signed his $3 million restricted tender. So the young backup quarterback now, apparently, the favorite, at least, to Carson Wentz, will be in Philadelphia throughout the 2019 season, and I like the move. Nate Sudfeld is a young, up-and-coming quarterback in the league. I've been very impressed with what Philadelphia has done with this guy, right? They just take him off waivers from Washington, of course. The theme of today's show really has been kind of the lowly, pathetic Washington, D.C. area. And, you know, I think Sudfeld has, when you're sitting behind a Super Bowl MVP in Nick Foles and an MVP candidate in 2017 with Carson Wentz, an up-and-coming potential elite quarterback in Carson Wentz who's shown that he can play at an elite level, you know, it's going to benefit you when you're in the film room with those guys and at the same time former quarterbacks and Doug Peterson and Frank Reich and a great offensive mind and John DeFilippo and, you know, Mike Groh now there. Nate Sudfeld, I think, has grown a lot. You could even see it in the preseason last year, the step he took in that Pittsburgh game. So his arm talent is really, really impressive. I remember when I was at that first preseason game against Pittsburgh, that just bomb down the field to Shelton Gibson. I mean, he's got touch on the ball. He's got a big arm. He's decently mobile at the same time. So I think he's someone that another team next year might be very interested in, not only making as a backup, but a guy like, all right, let's wait and see. Maybe this could be a player, much like maybe like Jacoby Brissett, right, where he's a very high-end backup and a potential starter for a team that might be looking to trade for him eventually. So, you know, he's going to be here, it looks like, only for 2019 based on his current contract. But I could definitely see him becoming that next, you know, Jacoby Brissett, you know, high-end backup, maybe even a starter. And it's just awesome to see Philadelphia continue to churn through quarterbacks and develop them into at least that level of player. And, of course, Sudfeld isn't there quite yet. He's going to have a big summer coming up. But I think he has that kind of potential, so I'm excited that he's going to be here throughout 2019. We'll see if they bring in a veteran still to compete with him. I like the idea of Ryan Fitzpatrick, but he's probably going to be starting for the tanking Miami Dolphins this year. Maybe you go in the draft and go with let's pair Carson Wentz and Sudfeld up with a North Dakota State guy himself, an Easton Stick. I think if you could take him in the sixth round with your last pick, or maybe undrafted, I think a player like, you know, him would be interesting. If you want to go higher, you'd have to take someone like Tyree Jackson out of UB, probably high, like fourth round. I think Tyree Jackson has too much potential. But, you know, that kind of player where you take another guy with a lot of good physical traits and you see if you can put him in that, you know, QB-friendly roster in that environment and see if you can develop another guy, because the Eagles saw just how important a backup quarterback has been the past couple of years. And while I don't think you're going to be, you know, really dependent on backups throughout Carson Wentz's career, because I'm not someone that really buys the injury-prone narrative of Carson Wentz. At the same time, though, you see the Saints, even for an insurance policy, spend a third-round pick on Teddy Bridgewater. Having a backup quarterback that can win football games when you're as talented as a team like Philadelphia, it's very important. So I'm glad Nate Sudfeld is back, and it'll be interesting to see what they do to try to find some competition for him. I don't think Perez is going to be that answer. And then final bit of news here around OTAs today. Josh Adams might miss the first month of offseason activities with apparently a shoulder surgery that he had done after the season. Adams is a very interesting situation. He's a very interesting player for Philadelphia, because here's this guy that's had injury concerns before, but yet the Eagles liked him enough and his talent to make him one of the highest paid. I think he actually had the most guaranteed money of any undrafted free agent last year. He comes in, he's super efficient in the preseason. They decide to keep Wendell Smallwood instead. Then they go into the regular season, they bring him back, and then he starts just really carrying the ball at an efficient rate, becomes just averaging a running back of, you know, 4.5 carries or 4.5 yards per carry, you know, 5-6 yards at some point. I mean, he was really, really efficient at the beginning of the season, right? Against the Colts and against the Jaguars. And he eventually got the lead job when Jay Ajayi got hurt and Corey Clement. He led the team in rushing last year at 5'11", but he really, in 511 yards, he's not 5'11", is what I meant. He had 511 yards last year, which is sad that that's what led the team in rushing, but it was. And then he really tailored off. I don't know if the pressure was the spotlight was too big for him in those big games down the stretch or what, but, you know, he was bouncing everything to the outsides. He really wasn't seeing the field as well as he was early on, and then they went full-time to just Wendell Smallwood and Darren Sproles in the backfield. So here's this guy that last year showed a lot of promise, then kind of fell off in the important games, and now you're looking at it. They bring in Jordan Howard. Corey Clement's going to get healthy. Even if Darren Sproles does retire, and even, I just think it's time to move on from Sproles anyway, but hypothetically, let's say Sproles retires, Josh Adams' roster spot is still in serious jeopardy, because they could double dip in the draft, right? They could take a guy in the fourth round, like a Justice Hill, and then come back around and take James Williams, or they could go with a Thunder Lightning thing with, you know, anticipating Jordan Howard's departure next year. They might add in Elijah Holyfield and then go with, I don't know, Darwin Thompson. So they could double dip in the draft. Or at the same time, Wendell Smallwood is still here, and Philadelphia likes what he can do for a fourth-string running back. He's proven that he can at least produce at a certain level. While I think it's a mediocre level, it's at least efficient enough where if there's a six-yard hole that this elite offensive line opens up for him, you know, he'll get those yards. You're not going to ask him to do much more. But with Wendell Smallwood in the building, maybe they decide to bring back Darren Sproles. Josh Adams could be he's probably the favorite to be your fourth running back right now. But there are a lot of scenarios where Josh Adams doesn't make this roster, and his injury history right now is not helping him, especially coming off this surgery. The fact that he's going to miss the first month to take advantage of that first month, that's unfortunate for Adams. So, yeah, he is definitely on the bubble this year, and that's crazy because, again, Brandon Lee Gauton, I saw from Bleeding Green Nation, posted a stat where, or just a statement that the past, like, it was from DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews, LeGarrette Blount, and Josh Adams have all led the Eagles in rushing the past 4 years. And all of them probably won't be on the roster the following season, or, you know, they just they just fell off. It's funny. It goes to show the inconsistencies the Eagles have had at running back, and it's why I'm glad Jordan Howard's here, and I really, really hope that they add another impactful player at that position throughout the draft. All right, let's take one more break. We'll come back. We'll get some takes on these press conferences as Carson Wentz talked to the media, Zach Ertz, and Jason Kelce. It's the news roundup segment of the episode. Don't go anywhere. This is Locked On Eagles. All right, we're back, and let's wrap up the show here by just getting into Carson Wentz was talking to the media, and I thought he said a couple interesting things of note, as well as Zach Ertz. Ertz said that Wentz had a fractured back early on in the season, and it really makes sense. I started thinking about that after he said it. I think you saw, with that Colts game, you saw Wentz's mobility, you saw that escapability back, right? You did. I mean, that crazy third down play where he evades like four pass rushers and dives for the first down. You look at that Tennessee Titans game the week later, which I thought was maybe his most complete game, maybe outside of, I would say, Jacksonville and London was one of his best games of the year, too. But you saw Carson Wentz looked healthy, even with the leg. His mobility was a little weak compared to the 2017 season, but he still ultimately looked like the same player, and he was playing still almost to that level the year before. He did not look much different. And then suddenly, you definitely did see that he was, I don't want to say afraid to make moves outside of the pocket, make plays, you know, just when it breaks down, and he's just playing pickup football, finding Nelson Aguilar down the field after evading three pass rushers. You weren't really seeing that as often, and it was probably because the back injury happened. I'm very curious when it happened, but it probably did happen right around that, you know, beginning of the season for him. When you look at week three against the Colts, I bet he suffered it in that range from, you know, against Tennessee, Minnesota, the Giants, Carolina, in that span right there, he definitely suffered the injury with the fractured back, because after that, you saw a player that just was held back, I thought, physically. And you saw that, and you saw that dip of production for his wide receivers, like Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar, and he really was depending more on Zach Ertz. And I think a lot of it had to do with the injury history, or the injury for the back, and of course the history with that ACL tear that he still wasn't fully recovered from. So I definitely can see that what Ertz said about Wentz suffering that injury really early in the season, I can definitely see that as the case, because only like four starts in, he started to look different. I mean, he was still producing, right? You even saw his final game before Dallas, where he eventually just got taken out at the end of the season, but even that Monday Night Football game against Washington, I mean, he was still playing at a really high level, and it just goes to show, I mean, what kind of player he is, that he can be the highest rated pocket passer and passer outside the pocket from Pro Football Focus in the NFC East, and yet he still was doing that with a fractured back. I mean, that's really incredible stuff. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you for joining me on today's show. We will be back tomorrow. We got four more podcasts this week. Really excited to be back this week as we gear up for next week's 2019 NFL Draft. Please subscribe to the show if you haven't already. You can leave us a review, hopefully a good one if you would. Hopefully a five-star rate. You can follow our Twitter accounts as well, as always, at Locked On Birds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. Gino will be back tomorrow with me. As always, I'm Louis DiBiase. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.